Okay. It's October 18th, so we're going to do this from now on. I'm going to do the In Heavenly Places kind of a thing on the dates of that were, because that's the only way I know how to do it. So page 298, if you have the booklet, In Heavenly Places, it's for October 18th, of course. And the title is Followers of the Lamb. For those of you that are following along, just click the link. It's in the room, and I think maybe I should put the link up there. Right next to where it says Sabbath Evening Notes, I'll put it before it, actually, because that's what we do first. All right, and it says, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. Yeah, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Revelation 14, verses 4 and 5. In other words, these guys, you know what guile is? Let me see if I can get this at freedictionary.com, because I don't know if they're going to have the actual old dictionary definition of this world word. Let's see how they say it in America. We all know.
Guile.
Yeah.
Guile.
Yeah. What about in Britain?
Guile.
A little bit of a slur off there. But some. Okay. Treacherous, cunning, skillful, deceit, obsolete. Well, I guess the word is obsolete. A trick or stratagem, like exaggeration. I always thought it meant exaggeration. Crafty character or behavior, insidious, cunning, attaining a goal, crafty deception. Oh, man, that's what's going on with this thing that happened today. Okay, so I'm going to explain this later and tomorrow after church. I hope everybody sticks around after church, because especially the babes, the new people, you need to hear what's happened today. All right, and because it's very important. It's our duty to warn the flock, especially when people outside the church that are not even members are looking to attack. So, all right, so guile, deceit, craftiness, cleverness, whatever, stratagem, treachery, deceit, all that stuff. Okay. So, amen and that. And it's, of course, Revelation 14. So she goes on to say that the Lord has a people on the earth who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. There's so many people out there that want to be called Christians, but they don't want to do it exactly the way Jesus did it. And this is why you have all the sign keepers on the planet today. They claim Jesus Christ as Lord, and he kept only the seventh-day Sabbath. I mean, even in the grave, he didn't even resurrect until after the day was over. I mean, talk about blunt reality. He stayed in the tomb until Sabbath was over. So she goes on. She says, he has his thousands who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Such will stand with him on Mount Zion. But they must stand on this earth, girded with the whole armor, ready to engage in the work of saving those who are ready to perish. And this is what we strive on to. We strive on to be in that number. All right? So goes on, we need not wait till we are translated to follow Christ. Amen to that. As a matter of fact, that is a rather, okay, we get that kind of a statement, because it's just like with anything else. A lot of people think, okay, when I get to heaven, I'll quit eating meat and this and that and whatever. And that very well may be so for most people, I would think, because they go to their grave eating meat. Though when they get to heaven, they'll go, oh, wow, I wasn't supposed to eat that. And then they'll have the Edenic diet in heaven. But when for those that are striving to be part of that number, the Edenic or the diet of Adam and Eve will be naturally where they gravitate towards. As a matter of fact, Sister White goes into detail on that somewhere in her writings. I don't remember where it is. I think it's Ministry of Healing or something like that. I don't know. If you go to the sermons. The collection of sermons that are on the site. We went through early writings. We went through quite a few of Ellen White's writings on Sabbath day before we realized we shouldn't be doing it. And so, during the church services and stuff. But it was very insightful and stuff like that. So the Lord allowed it, and a lot of people were blessed. But if you noticed, after we stopped doing that, even more people came into the church. So, And especially like some of the new people that don't know who Ellen White is, they usually come only on Sabbath day anyway. So she goes on to say that God's people may do this here below. In other words, follow Christ before we have before you get there. It's just like with changing your diet or changing your character to the best of your ability. You know, and I wouldn't call these mantras or anything like that. It's just kind of like little quickie reminders. And this has always helped me in my walk. And you might want to try this the next, like say you want to stop smoking, or if you want to stop. And I'm not going to condemn somebody that's in the church that smokes, as long as you're trying to quit. And I'm still not going to condemn you if you aren't. You're going to condemn yourself. I can't condemn you. But what I mean is, for the people that are trying, hey, you're doing what I'm doing, because I'm trying too. We're all trying. None of us are there yet, and won't be there until that eastern sky splits anyway. I mean, even the Gideon band's going to have to deal with that awful silence for a few moments, you know, wondering, you know, none of us are ready to meet him. We're all undone. But, oh, it's got to be abject terror, the likes of which no man has ever seen, for those that are at the feet of the Gideon band, who moments earlier wanted to kill us, and now they're worshiping us because they were taught in that manner. I mean, look at what's going on today. They worship all sorts of people. There's people out there that worship rock and roll singers, Hollywood stars, politicians. People pray to Obama. On camera, we got that. And, of course, people worship guys like... people actually worship Ellen White. They go way overboard. That's all they'll read is her writings. They go way overboard with that. People worship Doug Batchelor or Ron Wyatt. Well, actually, that's kind of like the topic later on, too. There's people out there worshiping him. And it's just crazy. And so by the time it gets to that point where they're looking to kill us, yeah, it's going to be common knowledge between the wicked, you know, from ear to ear, that worshiping mankind, it's no big deal, and that's what we should do. That's what they think. I mean, look at the Pope. Calls himself Lord God the Pope, Vicarius Filii Dei. You know, Vicar of Christ, or replacement of Christ. That's what vicar means. And so, but anyway, we got to get to this position. We got to perfect our walks in Christ. Oh yeah, the mantra that like people would call this a mantra. It's what I look at as a reminder. For example, when I was having an issue with anger, or little thoughts of anger, I didn't have a problem with the meat thing. As soon as I found out it was wrong to eat meat, boom, I quit instantly, cold turkey. And stuff like that's easy, but stuff in the mind for me sometimes is difficult. Like the anger thing was difficult, took me years. And let's see, other things. That's about really the only problem I was having was the anger thing. Distrust, because I have been ripped off so many times, that too. But still, I still don't trust anybody, and except for my brothers and sisters in Christ, but even there, to just a certain extent, because I know what Jesus said, but I understand he also had Judas in his number. And so what I do to help myself get over these situations is I ask the Lord to remind me, and he does, each and every time. And you might want to try this. Like, I remember years ago I had these little piddly sins. I can't even remember what they were. But these little piddly things that I liked to do, and I knew I wasn't supposed to do them, and whenever I was tempted to do them, I would repeat to myself, every little thing. That's what I'd say to myself, every little thing. And that was my way of reminding myself, is, look, you got to get rid of every little thing, all these disgusting things that you want to do, or sinful things, or sinful thoughts, whatever, every little thing. And it actually worked. I only had to do it, I think, for a couple of weeks, and then that was gone. And so I went to the next step, or the next step, and I just do that. Like now, it's like if I'm tempted in one area or in another area, like with anger or whatever, anything. Today, I will say, I can't remember what I was saying, because this was something I did recently. It had the word serious in it, like something to the effect of, you got to get so much more serious now. You got to get even more serious now, or something like that. Much more serious now, or I don't know. But I still do that every now and then, because... especially when I'm online doing the work. You know, I'll be tempted to go and look at some website of, like a movie, let's say. I'd be tempted to go watch a movie, and I haven't watched a movie in years. And I'll be tempted to watch it. And the Lord reminds me, you know, not every little thing, but get more serious now, kind of a thing. And it does help. Remind you, you know, ask him to remind you, and he really does. That thought will come to mind that you need to get back on that track. And so she says, God's people may do this here below. We shall follow the Lamb in the courts above only if we follow him here. We are not to follow Christ fitfully or capriciously, only when it is, or only when it is for our advantage. We must choose to follow, like O.J. Simpson. Did you hear about this? It was just note. I don't know if I put it on the site today. Maybe I did. O.J. Simpson is considering, because he's getting out on bail in December, late December of this year, even though he's supposed to have another 3 or 4 years or 5 years. But he struck some deal, and I guess he'll be out in December. He's considering, and there's some Christian leaders that are going to help him, and because, you know, they're going to get a piece of the pie. O.J. Simpson getting out of pulpit talking about Jesus Christ, because he's all about Jesus in the jail now. He's talking about Jesus left and right, you know. And it's a wonderful thing, yeah, praise the Lord, but what Jesus is he going to be preaching? You know, this remains to be seen. It'd be great if he came out and started preaching the real Jesus and the Sabbath and the, you know, the law of God and the present truth and who the Antichrist is. I mean, just everything that, you know, to get the people ready, but don't hold your breath. But I'm praying. It'd be so nice to see him do that, but, you know, because, you know, jail can turn people around. You got plenty of time to contemplate, you know. I didn't see the flyer, so he's going to promote the Catholic. Is that what you're talking about there, Leonor? Was that, because I don't know how long ago that comment came in here. Let's see. Oh, that's just now. Oh, no, wait. 21, 26. Yeah, no. So, yeah, I don't know if it's Catholic or not, but probably, you know, because Catholicism's got its clutches on every denomination out there, including the SDA Church now. And this we've got, you know, absolute concrete evidence of. It's just, it's not a smokescreen or a pipe dream or a figment of our imagination. But anyway, she says, we must choose to follow him. In daily life, we must follow his example. As a flock trustfully follows its shepherd. And you're going to see why at the end of the praise tonight when I share with what I'm going to share tomorrow after church. Some of you are going to be real shocked when you hear this. And anyway, she says, we are to follow him by suffering for his sake, saying at every step, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And like what Job said in Job 13:15. And that's something, and people say, well, how do you sacrifice? Well, you know, quit smoking, that's one way. Quit eating meat, that's another way. Quit drinking, that's another way. Quit watching any movies, not just R-rated or PG-rated or even G-rated. That's all fictional. Violent video games, you know. The video games aren't bad if you pick the games that, and I don't play any games. I don't play video games. Well, maybe I, you know, solitaire maybe. That's about all that I ever, but I used to, the kids used to sit around the TV and watch me play, what was it, Atari we had back then, and then Nintendo or something, and I used to really crank it out, but nah, I got bored with that pretty quick. All of a sudden it just disappeared, and I praise God for that. It's just like when I was shooting stick, I couldn't believe. The Lord revealed to me one night when I was in prayer. Actually, I wasn't in prayer, I was, I don't want to get into that, but it was a good thing, and I even told everybody in the pool hall when I went there, because it was a family pool hall, no smoking, no swearing, no gambling allowed. It was a small town pool hall. And I walked in there and I says, yeah, I won't be coming here anymore. It was revealed to me by the Lord that I'll be losing the love of the game. And the people started laughing because I was there every night after work, you know. And the teenagers would all come in because they knew I'd pay for their games because they never had any money. And I would always play them and stuff like that. And I says, yeah, I don't, you know, I thought it was a pretty shocking thing when the Lord said it to me in the way he did, and sure enough, it went. I can still shoot. I mean, my game's probably 80% off, but it's gone. I don't love it. I don't care for the game. You know, I even have a pool table. It's not even put together. I never put it together. You know, when we moved here, never, because that was a while ago. After, you know, brought the table here when we moved, and... yeah, I may be rusty now, but even 80% off, well, I don't want to brag. I don't want to get into that, you know. But anyway, but the thing is, one of the reasons I love the game so much is because no one could beat me. And I thought I had so much pride about it. I was all so, you know, everybody knew about it and thought it was, you know, amazing. And I praise God that my game ain't what it used to be. But It would be enjoyable, I would think, to just play, like if I was an old guy and I had a table in my house and I would just play it for enjoyment, just for myself. No scorekeeping or nothing, but I don't even want to do that now. And that's something I sacrificed. But it wasn't, it was more or less like, would you give it up? And it was kind of like when I was asked, would I quit smoking for him? And that was, like, I think, the third time in my life I actually heard the still small voice. And then, hey, you didn't have to repeat that. Drop the cigarette. Instantly became a non-smoker. And I was tested and everything. So that's part of the sacrifice. That's one of the neat things about when you sacrifice for Christ. The hardest part of the sacrifice, brothers and sisters, the hardest part is to say yes in your mind that you're going to do it. The second you make that decision, all that stuff you worked up to get to that point, that's the hard part. As soon as you say yes, then it's a piece of cake. And you may be amazed. You may all of a sudden, when you finally say yes, this is okay. You went through enough turmoil already, getting to the point where you said yes, and boom, you're relieved of it. You are set free from it, and it's, I got to tell you, he is not kidding when he says he's going to be with us all the way to the end of the world. It's like, it's just amazing. It really knocks your socks off, I got to tell you. So, but where did I leave off? Oh, yeah, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So she goes on. His life practice must be our life practice. And as we thus seek to be like him and to bring our wills into conformity to his will, we shall reveal him. See, that's one of the neat things. You don't even have to be an evangelist. You don't even have to share, although, you know, it's just like what Jeremiah says. It's like a fire that burns within. It just compels you. But even if you don't speak Christ, people will see him in you. And see, that's one of the reasons it states in the book of Romans that the unbelieving spouse is sanctified. Now, that doesn't mean they're saved, but it does mean that they have a better opportunity of getting saved than most people do because they're living with a real Christian. And that's where the sanctification process comes in, where sanctification actually just meaning set apart for holy use. And so being around, you know, a Bible-believing Christian is going to bless anybody else around him, especially if they're with him long enough to see, you know, or her, to see the changes and stuff like that. And I loved it when it happened when I first found Christ. I even had siblings come up to me and ask me, they wanted the old Nick back. And I thought, where have I changed? I know I changed in my mind, but I didn't know it reflected in the way I was acting. Because I didn't even share Jesus or anything that happened for at least a week or two. I had to get my mind right. I had to figure out just what it is he wanted me to share, because I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Everybody I know is a Catholic and you want me to say what? Because I found out the Catholic Church was a house of Antichrist, and my mom and dad, my brothers, my sisters, my cousins, my nieces, my nephews, all of them, Roman Catholics, all my friends, Roman Catholic. And I got to say, what? But anyway, it was neat. It was an exciting experience, to say the least. But she goes on. We are not in a dreamland of inaction. We are soldiers of Christ, enlisted in the work of showing our loyalty to him who has redeemed us. What we are in the heavenly home when saved, eternally saved, will be the reflection of what we now are in character, in holy service. Shall we not show our loyalty by keeping God's commandments here, in this, our place of probation? Are we following Christ with unswerving loyalty, keeping his life of perfect obedience, of purity and self-sacrifice ever before us, that by beholding we may become changed into his image? Because, I mean, I got to tell you, and I know this from experience, I used to like to watch the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up movies or the violent, angry movies where the guys wrote, and so I was always angry. You know, you just can't help yourself. You hang around with somebody that doesn't believe the truth as you do, and that's, I'm going to be getting into this a little bit more detail later in regards to what happened today. Or actually, it happened a couple of weeks ago, but I found out about it today. You will, by beholding, you become changed. Either the scripture is true or it's not. Either you're going to say, praise the Lord, the scriptures are true, or you're going to say, ruh-roh, I've just proven the scriptures are true by my lousy walk, you know, because this is what happens. Some people become the literal poster child for some Bible passages. So she goes on saying, do we strive to imitate his fidelity? If we educate ourselves to say, be thou my pattern, capital P, by the way, If by the eye of faith we see him as a living Savior, we shall be strengthened to follow him. Then, with the undefiled, we shall follow him in the future life. As eye and heart witnesses, we can bear testimony to his majesty, for by faith we have seen him, or have been with him, in the Holy Mount. And amen to that. And I like the way she puts it, as eye and heart witnesses. Because 99 times out of 100, you're going to be a heart witness. It's just like, even when I have my dry spells and stuff like that, and we all get them, you know, it's, and I remember talking about this before. You get these times in your life when you feel like, you know, you don't really have much to pray about other than the normal prayers that you've been praying for a long time for loved ones that just ain't walking where they should, and you're still concerned for them, you're still praying, or they need to be healed, or whatever the case may be. And just, okay, you just feel like you're in a rut. And the Lord gave me something a couple, 3 weeks ago while I was in midday prayer. He says, it's like a soldier in battle who's on leave. Okay, every now and then I'm going to call you to go to work, you know, to go on the front lines and do some work, and you're not going to have any doubt of my hand in your life at this point. It's going to be evidence all around you, right? It's just like when we see confirmation of this or confirmation of that, or a blessing here or a blessing there, or a gentle hug from heaven. Whatever the case may be, we're going to have overwhelming, but every now and then, it's like dead air. And it's, and it more or less just said, you know, the revealed rather. I didn't hear any voices, of course. But it was more or less like you're a soldier. And now, at this point in time, you're on leave with your family. Enjoy your leave. Be with your family. I'll get back to you. You know, kind of like Moses on the side of the mountain for 40 days, just sitting there growing hair, right? And what happened with Aaron on the base of the mountain? He had the same wait time as the 40 days as Moses did, but in less than 40 days, the people down there got all scared and, you know, as we say today, freaked out. And they started worshiping a golden calf, so we're all tested in our own little ways. So I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.